Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are times when the historic lectionary has readings that are hard to put together. The question for the preacher should always be, why are these readings chosen for this day in the church year? For example, what does the epistle have to do with Advent? It would be easier to put that Isaiah reading together with the gospel reading. One sees John the baptizer in each one. But John isn't in the epistle reading, and nothing there hints at the advent of our Lord. But the theme of faithfulness is present in all three readings. Today is Gaudete Sunday, Rejoice Sunday in English, that our sins are pardoned, that God's promises never end, is certainly a cause for rejoicing. And so rose-colored pyramids are used. They are also used on the fourth Sunday in Lent, again, to rejoice during a penitential season. So these two seasons are not all gloom and doom. There is rejoicing in Isaiah's prophecy, the doubling of that first word, comfort. Comfort my people, says your God, brings rejoicing. To comfort does not mean to sympathize, but to encourage. God's people had been in Babylon in exile for 70 years because of their sins. Jerusalem had been conquered and the people were carried off to a foreign land. The temple, the place of God's gracious presence, had been completely destroyed. The heart of the nation had been crushed. God did it because of Judah's impenitence. God punished his people for 70 years in exile so that they would repent. And now, as Isaiah speaks, her warfare is ended and her iniquity is pardoned. God still calls them my people. It is time to start anew. God started over with his people twice before. The first time was the great flood of Noah. Then came the exodus from slavery in Egypt. And Isaiah speaks about a third new start, the return from exile in Babylon. But that third exodus prefigures the one that Luke speaks about with regard to Jesus' death and resurrection. Luke calls it Jesus' exodus, the redemptive act which saves us. In this final exodus, Jesus frees us from sin, death, and hell because he paid the full price of our redemption. And of that, Isaiah will speak very descriptively in chapters 52 and 53, words that we hear in Lent and Holy Week. But here, a voice comes from heaven twice. It is the voice of a herald, a proclaimer. The first one commands that the way of the Lord is to be prepared. And the next reminds us that all flesh is like the grass, which passes away. Only the word of God lasts forever. The herald must be faithful in his task of proclaiming only what God has said. This first voice calls us to repentance. When a monarch came to visit his people, a new road was constructed. All obstacles had to be removed. Valleys were filled in, curves were taken out, every mountain and hill was made level. Every obstacle must be removed as the king arrives. The herald announced the coming of the king. And it's a fitting imagery for Advent, for John was also a fierce preacher of repentance, calling the Jewish leaders a brood of vipers. Boldly, he called them to repentance. He also condemned Herod's sin of stealing his brother's wife, Herodias. And it was that preaching of the law that got John arrested and put in prison. John announced God's law and gospel faithfully. He was a faithful steward. Now we come to our epistle reading, which describes the word of the holy ministry. John was that, the work of the holy ministry. John was that voice in the wilderness. But he is not the only voice which prophesied in those days, for other prophets spoke God's word as well. But there were also unfaithful stewards who did not speak God's truth, but substituted their own thoughts instead. Pastors are called for the task of being heralds, to announce both law and gospel. They are also, as the name says, shepherds. That's what the title pastor means, shepherd, one who cares for God's flock. In truth, there is only one shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ, but he calls and ordains sinful men to care for his flock until he returns. And this is how Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled, first in Christ Jesus, and then in those whom he calls into the office of the holy ministry. I have a confession to make. I have never liked to be called reverend. It's not a noun, it's an adjective. And it's often used as a title of address, but if one uses it, it must be like this, the Reverend so-and-so. It's like addressing a member of the judiciary, the honorable judge so-and-so. Reverend means a person to be revered, one who is reverent, a quality. And that's when I get nervous about such language. Pastor seems a much better title, and one which is biblical. Reverend is not really biblical in any strict sense. Getting back to Paul, there was a problem in the congregation at Corinth. The people were beginning to split apart and have their divisions in the congregation. They were clinging to the apostles. One party bragged about St. Peter, another about St. Paul, yet another about St. Apollos. Each one backed the apostle by whom he had been baptized and catechized. Some followed the one who thought was most revered or most important. And so Paul had to reel them back in, telling them not to brag about the apostles, but only about Christ. So it really doesn't matter who baptized you or catechized you. It only matters that you are in Christ. And in one epistle, Paul admits that he didn't even remember everyone he had baptized. It only mattered that they held to Christ. Christ then is the one who is the most important. Apostles, bishops, or district presidents, as we call them in our synod, and pastors are stewards in God's household. Steward is an old term, which denotes responsibility. We are more likely to use the term manager today. In the New Testament times, a steward was one who had charge of a household and the domestic servants. The Greek word translated as steward is oikonomos, that is, an expert in household affairs. We get our word economy from this Greek word. And so in the biblical world, it was often a public treasurer or administrator, one who was entrusted with the management of his master's property. And we hear of an unfaithful servant in one of the parables of Jesus. Pastors are called to manage God's mysteries, mysterion. These are things that are hidden from ordinary view. Luther wrote that the mysteries of God are nothing other than Christ himself. The highest mystery is the incarnation of our Lord, that God became man in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our reason cannot perceive that this man is our life, salvation, peace, righteousness, redemption, strength, and wisdom. His divinity is held or is hidden from ordinary view. And yet this man is the creator of all, the Lord of lords and King of kings. He is the God-man. Only faith perceives the mysteries. such as how the application of water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit washes away all sins. How Christ can give us his true body and blood under the forms of earthly bread and wine everywhere in the world at the same time. How Christ forgives sins through the word placed in the mouth of his steward. So these mysteries are seen only with the eyes of faith. Paul says that stewards of Christ must be trustworthy, faithful, dependable, inspiring faith. The steward encourages. He gives Christ's church the word of God. He proclaims it purely without adding or subtracting to what his master has said. And he distributes or dispenses the sacraments which bring Christ to the congregation. Some pastors are like John the Baptizer when they speak of God's condemnation of sin on those who don't want to hear it. Our gospel reading has John in prison, where he will soon be beheaded for what he spoke. It is a very real thing that we face in our society these days. Speaking out against sexual sins in our nation and other Western nations can get the steward fines or jail time. It is a daunting task at which many stewards have proved unfaithful. They give in to societal pressure, fearing man more than they fear God. What the Christian church needs is more faithful voices like John the Baptizer. It needs men of courage and commitment to the Word of God, this Word which does not lie and remains forever. The faithful steward does not opine on world economics or politics, but speaks only the word about Christ. And yet, as we know, the word of Christ often conflicts with the world's opinion. And it approves of what God has commanded, has condemned, and also asks for toleration of said sins. The faithful steward is to preach only the clear gospel, the pure faith. And he, like John the Baptizer, points only to Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, which John did. He does not massage his listeners into fleshly security, because that leads only to death and separation from God forever. He dare not be, as Luther said, the devil's messenger. Perhaps you've seen artwork with the letters VDMA, usually with a cross between them. The Lutheran reformers put those Latin letters over their doors, and some even sew them on their clothing. And those letters are often used as artwork in many Lutheran churches. VDMA, for the Latin, the Word of God remains in eternity. Dei manet in aeternum, the Word of God remains forever. This is what Isaiah wrote, but the word of our God will stand forever. We human beings are grass which withers and dies. Only in the eternal word of God is true comfort, because only the word announces redemption for sin. Only the word points us out to Christ, the good shepherd, the Lamb of God, this good shepherd who takes his lambs into his arms and cares for them through his under-shepherds, pastors who speak and act in his place with his authority. Only the Word of God bestows eternal life in Christ, and the faithful steward still delivers God's word of law and gospel to comfort God's people with salvation. The faithful steward will always speak and live those words. May it be true of all of us in these gray and latter days. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.